Campaign finance reform, if you think about it, would never be a movie. It'd be more like an opera, the length of a Wagnerian opera at this point, with the grim ending seemingly foretold to all. Well, another big scene is coming up in the next term of that nine-voice ensemble called the U.S. Supreme Court. The court agreed on Tuesday to hear a case on the limits of campaign contributions made directly to candidates and some political committees. The question for court watchers, is this court continuing on a path toward declaring all political money political speech, removing all limits on contributions, or will the court finally hint at where Congress might be permitted to regulate election fundraising? Joining us now is Rick Pildes, a professor of constitutional law at New York University School of Law. Professor, welcome.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
You know, I'm not a court watcher. I'm not an expert. But my reading of this is that this court is just eager to get to speech equals money, money equals speech, and then build back from there. And this is another example. What do you think?
Well, I think there's no question that this court has been moving in a more, you know, deregulatory direction about campaign finance regulations. I think it's no surprise that the court took this case in particular because these particular limits are probably hard to justify even under decisions going back 30 or 40 years.
So this would be, you know, the Sheldon Adelson, the casino owner in Las Vegas. This would basically say he has the right to do whatever he wants if he has all those millions.
No. Let's be careful here, John. You know, ultimately things may go down that path, but this case doesn't challenge limits on how much you can give to various individual candidates. What this case challenges is a cap on how much you can give to all candidates over a two-year period or political parties. And so the court may decide this not as some broad assault on campaign contribution limits, but on this narrower question of whether Congress can limit the total amount of money you give over 2 years to candidates or parties. And in some ways, this case is actually a reflection of the older system that we had long before these super PACs and Sheldon Adelson. It's almost a much more minor issue in the days that we now live in of super PACs where Adelson or other people like him can give multiple millions of dollars in other ways without having to worry about these caps in the first place.
It's on the fringe, but the major issue that I suggest, that I suspect would be argued here, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that these limits discriminate against people in a certain economic class who want to participate in politics using their campaign purses, yes?
Well, I would put it this way. The court for decades has said that it's just not constitutionally permissible for Congress to try to equalize campaign finance contributions. Whether you think that's right or not, that's been around for a long, long time. What the court has said is contribution caps can be put in to stop corruption of public officials. So the argument here is going to be, okay, if we're not contributing any more than these caps to any one individual candidate, we can't be corrupting candidates because we give money to a lot of different candidates. In other words, this case is trying to drive a wedge between equality-based rationales for regulating election financing and this much narrower corruption-based rationale. Now, I don't know if that makes sense to people. There's been a lot of criticism about the effort to draw this line, a view that it's kind of a hair-splitting sort of distinction. But, you know, that has been the distinction for a long time.
Well, is the argument here, and again, correct me again if I'm wrong, in the Citizens United era, these kinds of limits just seem like outliers and can't really be justified?
Well, you know, I think Citizens United gets blamed for all sorts of things going on in campaign finance reform that probably or campaign finance law that don't have that much to do with Citizens United itself, that decision. So I think this case actually involves much more longstanding Supreme Court precedent, the case Buckley versus Valeo, which is the major case in this area. And I don't think Citizens United, except as an atmospheric matter, you know, is directly relevant here.
So
the one you asked me about at the beginning is, even though the court could decide this case on relatively narrow grounds that would be not of much significance, will the court use this case to raise questions about the constitutionality of contribution limits at all? And if the court were to do that, that would be an extremely dramatic act that would unravel 40 years of campaign finance law. I think that every time the Supreme Court takes a case, there are enormous worries that it's going to do something, you know, radical and dramatic. Whether that's actually true about this case, you know, we don't know in advance. But there are certainly reasons the court could decide this case in favor of the challengers without opening up big questions about contribution limits in general.
It seems like the court is weary with tweaks here, but I'm wondering, do you think there are votes on the court to actually strip away this 40 years of precedent?
You know, it's a funny thing. For many years, there have been actually 7 or 8 votes to say this distinction we've had for 40 years doesn't make any sense. It's a distinction between the power of Congress to limit contributions, which the court has said Congress does have, and the power of Congress to try to limit spending, which the court has said Congress does not have. So many justices on the court have agreed for decades that that distinction doesn't make a lot of sense. The problem is they've never had any majority to overrule that distinction in one way or the other way. They could overrule it by saying spending and contributions can be capped. They could overrule it by saying none of this stuff can be capped. And it's an unstable distinction that's been around for 40 years.
And this case may take it in a different direction altogether.
This case could press on that, yeah, on that basic principle of campaign finance law.
Rick Pildes is a professor of constitutional law at New York University School of Law. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
So near-death experiences, do you have any? We've been asking for stories of people who are vulnerable and who may have just come a step close to death and made it out alive. We're going to be talking about people's tangible confrontation with the experience of death a little later on in the program. Give us your story, though, at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can weigh in on this conversation or anything else you hear on the show.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.